Thanks for joining us. Tonight, Buckingham Palace bracing for the fallout after Prince Harry and Duchess Meghan Markle broke their silence with a withering set of allegations against the palace, including racist remarks by a member of the royal family in what may be the biggest threat to the modern British monarchy. Here's ABC's Deborah Roberts.
It's a scathing accusation from one of their own.
Meghan shared with us that there was a conversation with you about Archie's skin tone. Mm-hmm. What was that conversation?
That conversation I'm never going to share.
Prince Harry and Meghan laying accusations of racism at the feet of the monarchy, telling Oprah Winfrey that a senior member of the royal family wondered how dark Archie's skin would be.
In those months when I was pregnant, all around the same time, so we have in tandem the conversation of he won't be given security, he's not going to be given a title, and also concerns and conversations about how dark his skin might be when he's born.
What?
And
who is having that conversation with you? What? And you're not going to tell me who had the conversation?
I think that would be very damaging to them.
The palace has yet to comment, but the allegation detonated like a bomb. The news so explosive, Harry clarifying an important point with Oprah on CBS this morning.
We certainly knew that Meghan had struggled with issues to do with race and racism during her time as a working member of the royal family, particularly in sections of the press. What we didn't know until Meghan's interview was, of course, that she had experienced it within the royal family. It's something that will absolutely send shockwaves through the palace.
Meghan and Harry described, at least by, I think, all accounts, a monarchy that is archaic, out of touch, bigoted, possibly racist. Was that just shocking to you?
Absolutely not. No. The institution that is the royal family has, in the past number of years, been found wanting, been found to be out of touch with its own people. You only have to look at the backlash that the royal family had when Princess Diana passed away. The fact that it did not occur to the institution that they need to come out and express sorrow, express compassion with the rest of the people tells you exactly why it's okay. So that did not surprise me. The bigotry doesn't surprise me. The racism does not surprise me.
As for longtime royal watchers and the British public, many are coming to the monarchy's defense.
I really don't see the point of insulting a 94-year-old woman and her family, the rest of her family, and leaving unsavory remarks about racism, which are really not backed up by facts as far as we can see. If you're going to make claims like that, big claims, you really have to make it very clear what you're saying.
We love our royal family, and just be careful, because they are head of our country and we love them to bits.
And they ain't got long left.
No, so just leave them alone.
Well, the Queen hasn't, anyway.
Some pushing back against the implication Archie would not be a prince in part because of his race. Imogen Lloyd Webber has long followed the royal family.
Archie, at the moment, doesn't qualify to be a prince. Only the grandchildren of monarchs get to be prince or princess. Otherwise, there are too many royals, too many minor members of the royal family, and Archie is the great-grandchild of the Queen, so therefore doesn't qualify for the title. Now, the Queen made an exception for George, Charlotte, and Louis because George one day will be king. Archie won't be.
If Harry's wife had been white, would the same thing apply, that Archie would not have been a prince?
Absolutely.
So it had nothing to do with race?
Had nothing to do with race.
Archie could become a prince when grandfather Prince Charles becomes king.
How is this playing out, particularly among Black Britons today?
We see the structural racism for what it is. But what I find particularly interesting is that people think that supporting the monarchy means you can't hold them to account. The Queen is not beyond reproach. The royal family is not beyond reproach. If they do something wrong, we should call it out.
Another bombshell. Meghan saying her emotional distress was far deeper and more painful than anyone knew, revealing how, while pregnant with Archie, she was struggling with isolation and had suicidal thoughts.
I just didn't I just didn't want to be alive anymore. And that was a very clear and real and frightening constant thought.
She says she asked Buckingham Palace for help but was rebuffed. Meghan telling Oprah it all came to a head more than 2 years ago. That day, she and Harry looked the picture of happiness at Royal Albert Hall, but behind their smiles, a painful truth.
We had to go to this event, and I remember him saying, I don't think you can go. And I said, I can't be left alone.
I was also shocked by Meghan's revelation that she was having suicidal thoughts. It just makes me feel that what have they done to Meghan? Meghan, like me, is an independent woman, a career woman, a well-educated woman. What happened to lead her to that position? That made me sad.
Mental health has long been an important cause for Harry and Brother William, founding the initiative Heads Together, aiming to end the stigma around it.
For a monarchy that talks openly about mental health and even runs this important initiative such as Heads Together, which talks about the importance of it being okay to say, it really goes against everything that the palace say that they stand for when someone like Meghan talks about being so alone and feeling those thoughts.
Meghan's time as a royal got off to a shaky start, Meghan herself admitting she was unprepared for life in the royal family.
She didn't know what it meant to be a working royal, that she went into it naively.
That she didn't know how to curtsy.
And I was cross with Harry. Harry watched his brother spend 8 years giving Kate time. What was he doing? Why didn't he tell Meghan? Why didn't he look after Meghan?
So you fault Harry for allowing Meghan to be so naive?
Absolutely.
The couple has never made a secret of their bitter resentment of the British tabloids, especially in what they see as a double standard of the coverage between Kate and Meghan.
The press was also very tough on Kate Middleton. It was quite vicious toward her, but it seemed to be different when it came to Meghan.
What she went through is nothing compared to what Meghan has gone through. And you have to look at the comparisons they make constantly between Meghan and Catherine. That is just another example of how they're trying, of how the press tried to drive a wedge.
Throughout the jaw-dropping interview, both Prince Harry and Meghan praised the Queen, but Harry could hardly conceal an apparent deep rift with his father, Prince Charles.
I feel really let down. I will always love him. But there's a lot of hurt that's happened.
He even offered a shocking detail that after leaving the UK last year, his father, for a time, didn't take his phone calls.
So why did he stop taking your calls?
Because I took matters in, by that point, I took matters into my own hands. It was like, I need to do this for my family.
The state of affairs with his father has often been kept under wraps, and it was really the first time that Harry spoke about the moments where Charles refused to accept his calls in those moments after stepping away or announcing that they wanted to step away from their royal roles. As what Harry says, there's still a priority there to fix the relationship. Sources close to Harry say that the pair have been in communication, particularly during Charles's own battle with coronavirus. But there is still a long way to go before the two ever become close to how they used to be.
You said that your brother was trapped. You said that you love your brother and always will love your brother. You didn't tell me what the relationship is now, though.
The relationship is space. At the moment. And, you know, time heals all things, hopefully.
The tell-all interview, a reflection of a royal family ripped apart, with many left wondering how the fairy tale all went wrong.
There was such hope around the wedding. Meghan and Harry, William and Kate, they were supposed to secure and symbolize the future of the British monarchy for decades to come. From that joyful day to where we are in 2021, it's just tragic.
The public breakup, a sad day for those who hoped the monarchy could finally reflect the diversity of the Commonwealth.
Having Meghan, biracial woman, in the monarchy was such a step forward. And I think hearing that that conversation happened about baby Archie before he was born is a million steps backward. Yeah.
Many people are saying that the monarchy essentially blew this opportunity. Do you think so?
Absolutely, without a shadow of doubt in my mind. I think they blew the opportunity with Diana too. There seems to be this reaction to strong, independent women, women who are likable by the public. The royal family as an institution is an example of how much more work we have to go. Because if women who come into the royal family are being broken to fit the mold, then the problem isn't with the, is not with the women, it's with the royal family. It's with the institution. That needs to change.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
People who disappear without a trace.
Where is she?
The most notorious murder cases in New York.
Pure evil.
And the most devious killers.
There's a Hannibal Lecter feel to him.
For chilling true crime stories, follow the True Crime NYC podcast wherever you listen.
We should note, when it comes to issues of despair and self-harm, please know you're not alone. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is always open. Dial 1-800-273-8255. For free, confidential support from trained counselors. And coming up next, Duchess Meghan and Princess Diana, when pain from more than two decades apart collide. It was the royal interview that rocked the world. That was 26 years ago. Princess Diana revealing her truth in a scathing interview. Here's ABC's Maggie Rooley on why the haunting words of the people's princess, Harry's mother, are now being compared to another royal outsider, Harry's wife, once again sending shockwaves around the world.
My biggest concern was history repeating itself. And when I'm talking about history repeating itself, I'm talking about my mother.
She was one of the most beloved figures in modern history. Affectionately dubbed the People's Princess, Diana's down-to-earth persona garnered a massive following worldwide. From her philanthropic efforts, to casting aside protocols and her shoes to compete in a Mother's Day run. She was a royal the public could relate to. And when Meghan entered the scene, people quickly began to compare the two. Their sense of style, their humanitarianism, their refusal to stay silent. Both under intense scrutiny from the press, Diana stalked by cameras at every turn. Meghan fighting back with lawsuits and ultimately stepping back from royal duties. And when they were ready, both women telling their side of the story.
Were you silent or were you silenced?
The latter.
Before Meghan's bombshell interview on Sunday, there was Diana's, the late princess sharing a glimpse into the secretive world of Buckingham Palace during her famous 1995 interview with Martin Bashir.
Well, there were three of us in this marriage, so it was a bit crowded.
Revealing to the world that her husband, Prince Charles, was having an affair with Camilla Parker Bowles, now his wife.
What effect did that have on you?
Pretty devastating. Rampant bulimia, if you can have rampant bulimia, and just a feeling of being no good at anything and being useless and hopeless and failed in every direction.
There are certainly parallels to be drawn with Princess Diana's interview. She gave a very damning assessment of life behind closed doors, and now, more than 25 years later, we have another really critical, really damaging assessment of what life is like within the royal family.
Behind closed doors, both women say they struggled, but in public, they maintained a royal facade.
Loneliness for newcomers marrying into the royal family is no new thing. But what unfortunately still hasn't changed is the fact that the royal family, or the institution that it belongs to, still doesn't want to help these women as they join the firm.
The striking similarities between Diana and Meghan played out decades apart in Australia. Thousands welcomed Prince Charles and Princess Diana when they visited in 1983. Then Diana's popularity eclipsed that of Prince Charles. 35 years later, Prince Harry and Meghan would tour the same country as well. But it was this moment of joy that the couple claims was a turning point. And soon, they hint that jealousy swirled around the palace about how well Meghan was received.
It was also the first time that the family got to see how incredible she is at the job. And that brought back memories.
Meghan's popularity only continued to grow. We were there almost a year after their tour in Australia as crowds greeted her in South Africa.
We always talk about is the fact that she's a black woman in such a high position and she's advocating for fellow black women.
A young generation thrilled with their new princess. But for both women, even though they were adored by thousands abroad, at home, they say they felt alone. Perhaps the hardest comparison between the two interviews, both women share how they felt they lived a life of isolation in royalty.
I did inflict upon myself. I didn't like myself. I was ashamed because I couldn't cope with the pressures.
Were you thinking of harming yourself? Were you having suicidal thoughts?
Yes.
For Harry, he said he needed the comparisons to end here, telling Oprah he feared history was repeating itself.
When you can see something happening in the same kind of way, anybody would ask for help.
In the end, the couple turned to each other, moving to California, starting a new life as a soon-to-be family of four. Now, royal watchers are waiting to see if the aftershocks of Harry and Meghan's interview will be anything near the magnitude of the late princess.
This is an interview that I think we'll be talking about for many months, many years, and one that does have the potential to be very damaging for the monarchy.
But the pair seem to be determined to write their own fairy tale.
What do you think your mom would say about this stepping back, this decision to step back from the royal family? How would she feel about this moment?
I think she would feel very angry with how this has panned out and very sad. But ultimately, all she'd ever want is for us to be happy.
And finally tonight, on this International Women's Day, hear the hopes and aspirations from role models around the world.
Hi, I'm Benita Shah, and my hope for women and non-binary folks in 2021 is to try something that scares you.
My wish and hope for all the women in 2021 is, especially the frontliners who is currently fighting the pandemic, is to be stronger and continue fighting for your family and the nation.
Hi, my name is Haley Arsenault. I'm a physician assistant, and my hope for women in 2021 is to continue looking towards the future.
Strong women across the globe. You can watch all our full episodes on Hulu. We'll see you right back here same time tomorrow. Thanks for staying up with us. Good night, America.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.